we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Do you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye?
It's Race Across America, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
Welcome to Race Across America, the show America's been waiting on for over 400 years. The only show that tells the whole truth about America's racial history, its problems and progress of the past, present, and everything in between. Open, honest dialogue. Everything's on the table for discussion. We hold everyone accountable for what they say about racial issues in today's America, including ourselves. I'm Paul White. My co-host is LaMarcus Tinker. LaMarcus, what else does our audience need to know about us and our show before we get going today?
All right, Paul, thank you. We just want to say thank you to everybody that is tuning in right now. We thank you all for coming back to us this week for the second episode of Race Across America. Just want to give you a little bit of information so that you can call in or reach out to us during the show. So if you want to call in today during today's show and give us your opinion, give us your thoughts and your feedback, you can give us a call back at 775-884-9910. Again, you can also follow us and go to our website at raceacrossamerica20@gmail.com and raceacrossamerica20.com. Again, that number to call in today is 775-884-9910. And we are live here on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. Paul, with that being said, let's get into it.
Oh, we're on and off and running. And I wanted just a quick note to our listeners. There's no show like this. LaMarcus and I are friends, good friends. We share the same goals, resolving the race issue. We share the same faith. We simply differ on what's the best way to go about doing this. While we may differ tremendously, we respect each other's right to have different opinions.
Absolutely.
LaMarcus, what a week. This past Tuesday was a shocker for the families of the 64,000 men and women who died honorably protecting our freedom in the Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan wars. These 64,000 families got to see America this week give something that none of their loved ones who died to protect our country ever received, a four-hour, all-channels, worshipful tribute to the life of a man who was a habitual criminal, drug addict, and thug, a man whose idea of bravery was robbing a pregnant black woman's house with five other men and holding a gun to her stomach. This absurd TV memorial marathon featuring countless self-promoting race baiters and race apologists of all colors. It was not about George Floyd's tragic and wrongful killing at the hands of a rule-breaking cop. Every aspect of that crime was immediately dealt with to the fullest extent of the law and will continue to be. Almost none of the rioting, looting, protesting that surrounded George Floyd's death is about the false narrative of America's systemic racism, because that is absolutely unprovable. The foundation of this current uprising is about America hating folks of all colors, coming together with evil agendas, not to try and improve America's efforts to live up to its ideals, to remain the greatest nation on earth for all its citizens. The protests and lootings have had just one goal: to selfishly destroy our government altogether. Led by far-left Democrats and anarchists, inflamed by the white-hating and cop-hating racists of Black Lives Matter, and their uninformed supporters of all colors, this past week revealed a full profile of what happens to a nation that has been allowing for too many years godless leftist politics to replace its religion, has let promiscuity and out-of-wedlock births become our societal norm, has let our public schools stop teaching any sense of discipline and moral values, and has let liberal-appointed judges prevent police officers from fairly but firmly enforcing the law. Good Americans of all colors have sat back for too long, allowing both black and white opportunistic leaders to hide their real agendas behind the claims of systemic racism, and refuse to acknowledge and heal two of our biggest problems that should concern everyone, black-on-black crime and a growing effort on the part of all colors, bad actors, to create total anarchy. These problems threaten to destroy not only a race, but our entire nation. So, LaMarcus, what's on your mind this week?
Well, Paul, where do I begin in what you just said in that lovely opening? I'll just start from the beginning, and I think I kind of want to address it one by one. I don't even know if we have time, Paul. You just kind of opened Pandora's box there.
There I did.
So let's talk about George Floyd, because you mentioned this man's past, and again, that narrative that I think a lot of people are trying to throw into the conversation is that somehow, some way, individuals are stepping up and saying that George Floyd was a saint, George Floyd was a good man, George Floyd had a clean record, and at no time has anybody said that. And I think that when we sit up and perpetuate that narrative, again, we are somehow, some way saying that he deserved to die, that it was a good thing for him to die here in society because he wasn't contributing anything to society because of his past actions. Again, nobody is judging or speaking about the way he lived. We're speaking about the way that he died. And the way that he died was wrong. It was unjustifiable. It was disgusting. And it definitely was motivated by something other than he was a threat. Because I think that anybody with eyeballs could see the threat had been handled and he was no longer a threat. He was a man that was being murdered by someone who is supposed to protect and serve. But to break that down and to understand what it means to protect and serve by officers, you must first understand why officers were created in the beginning and what their mission and their motive was from inception. Not just in Minnesota, not just in Florida, not just in Atlanta, but from the beginning of time, why they were created and their purpose. But we'll get to that later because, Paul, I'm sure you're going to say something that opens the door for that discussion. And then you brought up people speaking on race and how all of a sudden everybody's using it to benefit themselves. And I made this point on our previous show, and I'm going to make it again, is that a lot of people are kneeling down like the cops, and a lot of Caucasian brothers and sisters in this country are speaking up not because they feel they have been racist, but they feel they have been complacent with the racism and the oppression of the minorities around them. Complacent behavior is just as horrific as the act of being racist. That is because you are sitting back watching someone get mistreated, not based on the content of their character, but on the color of their skin, and you do nothing. There are crimes taking place around you that are being implemented and carried out by officers and people of leadership positions of all colors, and yet you sit back and do nothing. That is them being complacent. And so a lot of people now are not saying, oh, I'm a racist. The cops are not kneeling because they're saying, oh, we are all racist. No, they're saying we have been complacent and allowed this behavior to go on and on and on. And we now realize that we were a part of the problem and that this is our problem. And that is what I would like everybody to understand. That this mission and the marching and the protesting, the peaceful marching and protesting, is to say enough is enough. We need everybody who's been complacent and everybody who's been a participant in racism to speak up, to say this is wrong, this is not okay. And for majority of the country,
It's been complacent behavior, not necessarily racism, has been driven by it. It's just a saying like, you know, we came in contact, Paul, I don't know if you remember, when we first started this show and we had a couple of meetings, and we came across somebody who made this statement, well, it's not my problem. He may look like me, but what does it matter? He may look like me, but why should I say anything? That's their problem, not mine. And it's that attitude that has allowed this type of oppression and racism to take place in this country. And when it comes to the looting and rioting, Paul, you keep bringing that back up. And my statement to that is nobody is saying that looting and rioting is okay. And we understand that there are multiple agendas at play by African Americans, by Caucasian Americans, by Asian Americans, and so forth and so on, because there is a mixture of people doing that. But for some reason on these airwaves, on Fox News Radio and other airwaves in this country, the lie is being articulated to the people that it's all black people that are doing this. And this, again, is furthering the narrative that black people in this country, African Americans in this country, have been seen and described as animals. And it feeds into the idea that they deserve what they get. They don't deserve to be treated with respect. They don't deserve the same opportunities, because look at what they do the moment something doesn't go their way. Look at them. They're angry. They're mad. Look at them. But nobody is stopping to say, well, it's not just them. It's everybody that's taking advantage of this. And so that's the points I want to make to what you said, Paul. And I'm sure you're going to say something else that is going to be thought-provoking, right? And encouraging to the people that are listening. Because we don't want to be those same people that are on these airwaves basically describing everybody that's destroying property as being black. Or African Americans, do we? Or do we want to finally acknowledge that there is a mixture of things at play here in these communities with the rioting and the looting?
Well, LaMarcus, what you're putting in there is just what's being heard by the far left press, that nobody, nothing I read, nobody I know is saying. In other words, this idea of if the starting point, which I seem to get from your comments, if the starting point is how systemically racist the country is, how bad the police are and how bad they feel about it, you know, I respect somebody's right to have an opinion, no matter how unprovable it may be by any fact. In other words, to go back over this as we go, 4% of the 7,500 blacks murdered every year, 4%. Are killed by cops. 12% of the 6,000 whites murdered every year are killed by cops. Cops kill three times more, 8% more white people who are murdered than they do blacks. Of the 987 deaths that are, of the 987 people that are shot by police, 2%, I'm looking for my notes here, LaMarcus, 2% are black. Where are we? 2% are black. Of the a cop's chance of getting killed by an unarmed black man is a cop's chance of getting killed by any black man is 18.5 times greater than an unarmed black man being shot by a cop. 40% of all the cop killers over the last 10 years are black. In other words, the starting point. Colin Kaepernick's comments when he first kneeled down, notwithstanding, the starting point that blacks are oppressing people of color and getting away with murder and people don't realize what's going on, you're right, they don't. That the statistics absolutely say, for example, when you see the statistic, 2.5 times blacks are shot 2.5 times more by cops. Okay, they're doing 10 times the violent crime. So 2.5 times is 7.5 times less than what they would be shot if the statistics were even. In other words, so this is just like the starting point. Here's the problem, LaMarcus, as I see it, is that you have these issues that come up anytime 330 million people of every nationality and race on earth come and bump into each other in the United States. You have all kinds of issues that come up. But the idea, and there's individuals on both sides that need to have more brotherhood, more fair treatment, etc., more law-abiding behavior toward each other. The thing that's wrong is this idea that America is somehow systemically this way, that this describes most of America now, 2020, and that this has to go back to this. And so it just doesn't, let's defund the police. I want to really hear your take on that. But the idea that it's not a race, it's not a systemic thing in the nation that's causing this. You have individual instances, black on white crime, white on black crime, etc. But the cops, the statistics don't. This one I was sharing with you, this came out most recently, Department of Justice and National Academy of Science. So somebody can say, oh, they're just lying. Well, 375 million annual contacts is what police all over America have with civilians in 1 year. 375 million interactions. Here were the findings of these two organizations that did a overview of all this data. Quote, no structural bias in the criminal justice system with regards to arrests. Prosecution or sentencing, crime and the suspect's behavior, not the race, determine most police actions. So this is mine, LaMarcus. You know, there it's been written, to begin rightly, to end rightly, have to begin rightly. And so the starting point that cops are horrible, blacks are being hunted, and we simply need to own this and then we can move ahead, that's simply factually not true.
All right, Paul. I knew you were going to say something. I just knew it. It was coming. It always comes. So let me just jump on a couple of points you made there, Paul. And again, you brought up a lot of numbers and statistics. And, you know, again, I will state this as I've stated before. Statistics are simply snapshots in time that can be, you know, convoluted and manipulated to fit those who were in power. Those who are in power, whether it be Caucasian Americans, African Americans, and who have you, the statistics can be manipulated. So when we talk about statistics, I really have no love or support for them because, again, it can be manipulated to fit whosoever narrative is in power. What I care more about is the human element of these things. And when we see these numbers on paper, somehow we tend to forget that these are fathers and brothers and uncles and families that have loved ones and children that need their fathers. And so I look at it a little bit deeper than just numbers on a paper. I look at it as souls. I look at it as funerals that families have to go to and watch their loved one be buried because of senseless acts by individuals that have a bit of authority that choose to abuse it. So you can keep talking numbers. I'm going to keep talking the human experience because that's what's missing. Everybody wants to analyze and dissect, and the numbers say this and the numbers say that. But what does the human interaction say? So that's my thought on your statistics, Paul. And when we then go on to this idea of defund the police, I think when we people are saying that, somehow they think we are saying abolish police officers. Now, that would be foolish because there are times and places where cops are needed to go to house calls for domestic abuse, for child abuse calls, for things of that nature. So when the statement calls for defund the police, let us remember that this is not the first time in history this has come up. This actually came up in the 90s
when there was legislation introduced to defund the police. And when we say defund the police, not to abolish, but it means to take a portion of the funding that is given to police departments that have to invest in armored vehicles and all this tear gas and loads of ammo as if they're preparing for a war when they are just policing a neighborhood. It is saying give a portion of the funds that go to police departments and put it back in the community. Put it back with social workers. Put it back with organizations in the community that are there to assist and help. Did you know, Paul, that majority of cops don't like to go to calls where there is a person with mental illness or there is a person with trauma? They prefer not to go to those calls because all they can do is put the person in jail. They cannot actually assist the person. And so it's to say to take $300 billion that the cops are given every year and say, we're going to take $100 billion of that and put that into community organizations so that now there's a balance a little bit in power where the community has a seat at the table with the officers and not the other way around where the community is outside the building and the officers are sitting at the table. What we're saying is we need to have a voice at the table. And when I say we, I'm talking about the American people that are saying defund the police. Now, there are some people who feel like cops should be abolished. Again, that is foolish. Everything has a purpose and a place. But when we say balance the power in the communities, that is really, really important, where cops are now having to work with community organizations and individuals in the community to help the people in the community. So that there is a check and balance in place for cops, because cops are the only job in this country, Paul, where they can carry a gun around and they can kill you. They are the only job that allows them to do that. And they can then say, well, I felt in danger for my life, so I shot somebody reaching for their wallet. I shot somebody because I thought it was a gun, but it was a cell phone. So I have the ability to kill at will. And then we can figure out the details later. That is the problem with a lot of officers. Now, majority of officers are not that way, but it's the few bad apples that are ruining it for all cops. And so when we talk about defund the police, to abolish the police is foolish, and nobody is saying that. Again, it is simply saying let's move funding into the community. We must understand that giving police officers the free will to kill at will is unacceptable. We must put more strict limitations on the ability of cops because they are human beings. They are flawed. They do have ulterior motives. And so we must make sure that before we allow somebody to carry a badge and a gun, that they themselves are mentally there. They themselves are not walking around with preconceived judgments against anybody, black, white, or otherwise. We allow anybody to be officers these days. And that is the issue. So I think it's not just more so of a race issue. It's also a police issue and how we need to address the rules and regulations that surround police. And so as we move into this commercial break here, folks, I want to let you all know you can call us at 775-884-9910. We are live here on Fox News Radio on KKFT 99.1 FM. And I assure you, folks, you don't want to miss this. I'm sure Paul is going to have something to come back with that's going to set us off again on another journey. Again, that number is 775-884-9910. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. Your voice matters on this show here on Race Across America.
The talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out.
884-9910. And welcome back to Race Across America. I'm Paul White with my partner, LaMarcus Tinker. We've been talking about the move to defund cops and statistics, and I understand we've got a caller, LaMarcus.
Yes, we believe we have Mike here on the air with us. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thank you for calling in.
Well, I'm hanging in there, LaMarcus. It's risky taking my call here. You know, when you see a group of people every 20 years burn down their own community, and when they commit crimes 4 and 5 times every other race, how can you not be a racist? How can you not deal with reality? There is no equivalence to what happened to Floyd and burning down a city. You know, people who burn down, I don't know if you've studied history. I don't know if you know about the Roman Empire, the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths. You ever hear of them, the Mongols? These people burn down cities. People who burn down cities are savages, and you just refuse to admit it. Now, love, you know, I'm not going to, you know, you can't BS me with this crap that it's everybody's fault but you and your race. You can't dismiss what goes on in Chicago, Baltimore, Memphis, Camden, Detroit every single day and just gloss over it and blame everybody but yourself. You know.
Thanks, Mike. What do you think, LaMarcus?
All right, Mike. Well, first of all, thank you for your call. I think, Mike, your call was very much so needed today, because the way in which you just spoke and you said your people, your race, and how could you not be a racist is the exact point. Because, Mike, yes, you made a good point that how can you, you know, burn down your communities, and then how can a person not be look at you and be racist towards you and your people, as you put it. And the reality is this, Mike. The African-American people in this country, from the beginning of this country, were not even seen as human beings. And then we transform and we move forward into civil rights. And we had to have a civil rights movement because we just wanted equality across the table. We didn't want segregation. We wanted integration. And then when you talk about now and how is it that you can burn down your communities again, Mike, and I appreciate you bringing this up. Nobody is saying that that is okay. But what we are saying is that it's not just African-American people, or my people, as you put it, that are burning down these communities. If you turn on your television, you will see all different nationalities of people destroying community across this country. And so I just want to speak to that, Mike, and it's not BS, but your narrative in that you when you called in, kind of solidified the point that I was making. It is the way that people are perceiving what is taking place. I'm not saying that all black people are innocent. I'm not saying that all white people are guilty. What I'm saying is that each side has a point that they want to get across. And what I'm saying is, but before we can get to those points, we must get to the heart of the matter, the truth of the matter, the experience of the matter. So I want to thank you, Mike, for calling in. But that was a bit of reality of what I have been speaking about on this show.
Yeah, good answer, LaMarcus. Mike. I mean, my experience with race issues goes back almost 50 years to Detroit, and for as long as I've been dealing with them, I've come to realize that it has nothing to do with anybody's color. It has to do with individuals. And I'm not a speak for the race guy. I'm a let's look at the individual person who's doing something and judge it there. I'll bring up one that surfaced a little bit this week with a video on the media about state flags. So I think we'd all agree in the United States that we'd like to see harmony between all the races, and that we'd like to be able to learn from the past without living in it. And certainly those are goals we all share. Well, unfortunately, if you still live in the 5 southeastern states of Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, and Arkansas, then you're not learning from the past. You're still living in it. Because all 5 states, about 150 years later, since the end of the Civil War, all 5 states still insist on running a state flag that has some semblance of the Confederate flag. In Georgia, where they used to run the regular stars and bars, they said, no, we'll get away from that. Well, they did. The stars and bars were the second flag of the Confederacy. The one Georgia has now is the first one. What a slap in the face. And I used to live in Georgia. I used to live in Florida. I've been to all the states. My family's roots are kind of in the southeast area. So I know what I'm talking about. So here's Georgia running the first flag of the Confederacy. Here's Florida, which had the second most lynchings post-Civil War of black people, other than Georgia, running a great big red St. Andrew's cross, which was a battle flag for the Confederacy. Here's Alabama next door, identical flag except for the state seal. Here's Mississippi. Oh, Mississippi just doesn't give a damn. They just run the Confederate flag, and you can like it or not. And Arkansas kind of sneaks tiptoes around the edges with a big star that stands for the Confederacy. Here's my question on this. If we want to move ahead, what on earth are these states thinking? That they can't put something up other than a reminder? Just we're trying to say, okay, slavery was horrible. All this pre-civil rights was horrible. We're going to get beyond it. But I got to tell you, if I'm a black person and I wake up in those five states and I've got a state law, and they all do, that requires a pledge to their state flag and to its history, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me that with where are the Christians, the Jews or the Muslims for that matter, in any of those three states who are not saying, What are they talking about in church if they're not talking about getting rid of this? It's a law in Germany. You can't run the swastika. What's the old history they're going to remind the Jews of? 6 million of them executed? What's the history that they're reminding anybody who was descendant from slavery back in the Southeast? And here's the sad part. Sad, pathetic, and embarrassing. This is not typical of the United States. This is not typical of white people. But the statistics say that of the people in those states, approximately 20% really like those flags. Well, that's to be expected. 20% of the human race is pretty big idiots most of the time anyhow. We'll just throw that to the side. 20% are really against it. Good for them. What's that leave the other 60%? Doesn't really bother them. Kind of like LaMarcus was mentioning earlier, just an indifference. Oh, well, and I'm sure it's not all whites, but probably a majority. Oh, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? It's like waking up every morning and seeing a photograph of somebody your wife cheated with, or her seeing somebody you cheated with, or seeing a picture of somebody who killed a member of your family. There is so many of these race issues, if not all of them, are totally debatable on this thing. This can be worked out. This can be done. There's two sides. This state flag issue, there's no other side. And there shouldn't have to be one black voice in America speaking up about this. Let Apple and all these people keep their $100 million for their diversity training. How about they put that into a lobby to lobby the federal government to cut off all federal aid to those five states that refuse to take down this hateful symbol? I mean, so there's an example. We do want to move ahead. The cop issue, as LaMarcus said, is totally, the country's got it totally wrong. If there's anybody trying to make things right in this country, it is the cops. But this is one example that would be such an effortless one to take away and replace these flags. And there isn't a church in those five states. There shouldn't be a person, white person, in those five states that shouldn't be saying, telling their government, take that damn thing down and take it down today. LaMarcus?
Well, Paul, I appreciate you bringing up that point because it's so significant that when you have those five states, Paul, and one of them I know you mentioned, I believe, was Georgia, correct, Paul?
Correct.
And Georgia is one of the biggest entertainment capitals in the country, especially for African-American culture. Right in Georgia. And then you talk about how the flags are flying and it's just like everybody's sitting there. They know it's wrong, but oh well, it is what it is. It goes back to that idea, Paul, that I mentioned earlier, people being complacent, people being just like, well, that's not my problem. Well, it's our history. We shouldn't want to tear down our history. It represents some type of victory to a lot of people in those states. And that complacent behavior and attitude, it may not be a flag in Reno. It may not be a flag in California. It may not be a flag in New York, Paul. But each state in this union has its complacent item. And for the purposes of this show, every state has its complacent attitude towards the racism issue, Paul. And I believe, Paul, that you said it very clearly. And I don't disagree with you on that. I actually agree with you. Finally, we agreed on something.
Trouble.
Uh-oh, I think the earth just started shaking. But what we agreed upon is that an African-American should not have to say anything. Our brothers and sisters that are Christians and our brothers and sisters, period, that are Caucasian should be saying to their state leaders, to their mayors, to everybody, like you said, Paul, take it down. Not next week. We don't need to vote on it. We need to take it down. And it's those type of moves, Paul, that I feel help us move in the direction of unity and understanding. But the complacent attitude of those who are sitting right now in those states and sitting in every other state in this union, and they see these things taking place and they don't say anything, let's be clear. You are just as guilty as the ones that are flying the flag. We all must stand up and fix this issue so that we can make sure that it does not continue to happen. Now, Paul, we disagree on the cop issue, but that's okay. I think that's a small victory that we agreed on something today.
I agree. Well, and see, and here's the thing. Here's the problem with letting things like the state flags, the Confederate-related ones, go untouched is it gives, because there are people, like I mentioned in my opening statement, because there's people of all colors who are absolute opportunists out there, and as opportunists, I'd list pretty much every white Democrat. I'd list Colin Kaepernick. I'd list Al Sharpton. I'd list these people who are simply looking for a way to come up with excuses for their own shortcomings or their own, look up for a way to boost their own presence in society. And what they do, what the states do is when they leave these wide open, big, low-hanging fruit racist targets like these ridiculous state flags, they give credence to these people. See, here's the thing. It's like when we saw this week with this talk about, okay, for instance, Starbucks was in the news. And Starbucks, I believe it's 2 years ago, had two black men sitting in their store talking, not ordering anything, just talking. They were there quite a while. Okay, perfectly normal procedure for any place like that. The council moving a lot of people in and out. They're not ordering. It's very normal for a manager to go up and say, hey, fellas, you want to order something? If not, you know, we're kind of crowded. We kind of need the seating. Could we can either order or we need to ask you to move along. That happens to everybody. Nothing racist about it. That's how businesses operate. Loitering is just, it has its limits. Well, but the manager of that Starbucks did not do that. What he did was call the police. Okay, well, it immediately becomes, then, this racial issue to which, now, Starbucks had two choices. To talk to that one manager and to say, look, if you don't know enough on how to handle people in this, then we need a new manager. But they didn't do that. Instead, fall all over themselves corporately, declared two down days for Starbucks, made every single employee go through diversity training. What, they weren't doing it already? They don't tell a manager not how to, how do you handle overly loitering black customers? How about just a handle on how to manage people that just want to talk and hang around too long in a place? But they didn't do that. And so Starbucks now is doing, did diversity training. Now they're distributing 250,000 T-shirts saying, oh, we need to get rid of the racism in America. No, no systemic racism in America. What there is some idiocy in the corporate level of a Starbucks or an Apple. Oh, $100 million to getting rid of systemic racism. No. Apple, if you're picking worse people, less qualified people simply because of their color, black or white, well, why? Why are you sitting there all of a sudden going to shade the whole United States for something that just you individually are doing? This is the ultimate answer, LaMarcus, to solving this thing, is that for you and I to look at each other and say, you know, black people, idiots come in all colors. And so do good people. and how we get past all these excuses and all this bemoaning on the police. And by the way, nobody really wants to defund police? No. Minneapolis City Council just voted unanimously to defund. They're going to have no police. I don't know anybody in society, anybody, who, when I was a teacher, I didn't carry a body cam, recorded every last thing I do. I don't know anybody who could stand up to the scrutiny cops get. But you see, Kaepernick, Starbucks, etc., are using, again, that sitting around, just letting things go that you talked about, letting that happen. And so people like the Kaepernick, Sharpton, Starbucks, all the white Democrats, etc., take advantage of for their own personal gain. See, nobody really cared about George Floyd. Nobody really cares about these things going on. Black Lives Matter, another exploiter. We need to work these things individually, LaMarcus. Otherwise, it'll never stop.
Paul. Well, I'm glad you brought up Starbucks, Paul. I kind of had a feeling you would today. But here's the thing. Starbucks actually has a sit-down policy. Did you know that?
That
you can utilize their restrooms, cafe, and patio without purchasing anything? Did you know that that policy was in play when that manager called the police on those African-American males that were sitting there? And so if the manager should have known better and known how to handle it, he should have also known the policies that were there. And it's this type of action that then says, well, what's the excuse next? Oh, he was just an idiot manager. Okay, he was just an idiot manager, so he called the cops. Why did he call the cops? Is it because those African Americans were loud, or is it because that they were violent? What was it, because they were talking too quietly? They were sitting too quietly, but he's just an idiot. But what motivated him to call the cops is the question.
What are you saying? That was deep-seated hatred of black
people?
What
I'm saying is, it is the stereotype that manager felt like, well, I can't go over to those black guys because that manager said, well, that it might get violent. It might get dangerous. I don't want any confrontation. So I'm going to call police officers in here to de-escalate the situation. That is what I'm saying. And I think sometimes we always want to look for an excuse, but we should just call a spade, period. After you look at the facts of a situation, and I say facts very loosely because, again, it depends on who was involved, who's controlling those facts, and how that information is being put out. But we need to look at the situation, and after the facts are sorted through and 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2, but it equals 3 and 4 and 5, you then have to call a spade a spade. A spade is a spade. And you know what's interesting? And I have to go back to our caller, Mike, that called into the show today. That is a spade. That is a spade that has multiple counterparts across this country. That type of attitude, Mike, and I hope you're still listening, is the reason why this show is even in existence. Because myself and Paul have to discuss these issues. And where we may not agree on everything, we do agree that we have to get to a place of unity. We have to get to a place of understanding. But what we also agree on is that the attitude in which Mike called in here with today is the attitude of, like Paul said, what Paul, you said 20% of the people here, right?
Hardcore against this
country. That is the issue. So I hope that everybody that was listening to today's broadcast can hear Mike and can see a mic around them. And we hope that you will have this conversation with them as well. And again, if you have any questions, we ask that you call in at 775-884-9910. We will love to hear from you before we go off air today. Paul?
Yes. We've got what we want. In other words, just touching one more time on that Starbucks thing. Sure, it was the manager. In other words, am I going to say, LaMarcus, that one manager who made that bad call, that one manager then all of a sudden, oops, that puts a stains the entire, every white person, presumably they were white, every white person in the United States then about this? It doesn't. And like I say, what we're looking at, looking ahead to next week, You can't talk about what's going on without the Black Lives Matter organization. And two words will be coming up on next week's show regarding the Black Lives Matter. One is Chicago and one is abortion. And so please stay tuned on that. And on this, I know I don't want to be judged by what my neighbors do, what my friends do, what my wife does. I want to be judged on what I do and say. And so we thank you very much for joining us, and we really look forward to hearing back from you next week. LaMarcus, what have you got to finish us off?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Paul. And Paul kind of teased next week, as he says, with the Black Lives Matter movement. And I will say this, I am a black life and I do matter. And so does every other race and nationality in this country matter as well. But I will say that I am a black life and I do matter. But I am more importantly a man of God. And as a man of God, I must stand up and step out and speak up against all injustice that I am seeing being done towards not just African Americans, but against Caucasian Americans, Asian Americans, and so forth and so on. Because oftentimes, Paul, as men of God, we tend to not want to get in the fight. We tend to not want to speak up because in some way, somehow, we are afraid to offend the people in our congregation or our friends, and we feel that we're going to lose somebody. But now is the time. That is where I want to leave today, Paul, is I want to challenge all of the brothers and sisters in Christ and all of the other different religions that believe in good and believe in doing good to others to step up, stand up, and speak out against what is taking place in this country. It's long overdue. So, Paul, yes, we will discuss that next week. But again, I am a black life that matters. But I am also your brother in Christ.
You are. You are my brother in Christ. Thank you for joining us. We leave you with that thought of Malcolm X post-Mecca when he realized that hatred makes no sense. He said, I'm for truth, no matter who tells it. I'm for justice, no matter who it's for or against. So are we at Race Across America. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you and listening to us next week.